Prepare to dive into the forefront of healthcare innovation at our 14th annual meeting coming up on April 8th through 11th at the Hyatt Regency in Chicago, with thousands of industry leaders converging over four dynamic days of discussions on crucial topics from health IT to executive leadership. It's where the future of healthcare takes shape. We can't wait to connect with you in person and engage in these important conversations.
This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. John Varbaro, Chief Medical Officer and Vice President of Ambulatory Services at Bergen Newbridge Medical Center. Dr. Varbaro, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Laura.
Now, I know we have a lot to talk about, and I'm looking forward to catching up on just some of the great things that you're doing at Bergen Newbridge. It's certainly, you know, a fascinating time in healthcare right now, and a lot of interesting and exciting changes happening. But before we dive into that discussion, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I'm an internal medicine doctor by training. But most of my career as a hospitalist. I was one of the early hospitalists and eventually transitioned into leadership. I've been a chief medical officer now for almost 9 years. The last six plus have been here at Bergen Newbridge Medical Center. And for the last year and a half, I've been the vice president of ambulatory services here as well.
Well, it's great to hear, and definitely, you know, such an important role, especially as more services and procedures are going out of the hospital into the ambulatory setting. When you look at, you know, what you've done there at Bergen Newbridge, what is one change that you've made in the last year or so that's had some great results?
I mean, there's been a whole bunch of them. You know, the big thing I think we tried to do, so Bergen Newbridge is a safety net hospital here in North Jersey, and more importantly, even in the story of it, is it had been grossly mismanaged for decades until 2017, when there was the county basically initiated a massive leadership change. I came here 3 months after that change, and so we had a bunch of different challenges here, you know, and then of course we had a pandemic 2 years into it. We had a number of different challenges when we were starting out, which was we had to rebuild everything. We had to build a quality infrastructure and infrastructure and relationships with our medical staff and so forth. And we also are surrounded by four other major hospitals, and we're very close to New York City, so there's a lot of competition. So we were in a hospital where we were behind everybody, we had a bad reputation, and we didn't have a ton of resources. So, you know, that's obviously very challenging, but it also can be very freeing. And in the last year, we've really seen a lot of changes and things coming to fruition. The big thing we've done, and we've built a few services on this model now, is, you know, I spent at least 15 years going to conferences where people talked about population health and integrated medical care, and everybody kind of does the same things, and they check a box, but they don't really put their money where their mouth is, for lack of a better term, and we did. What we did was we kind of democratized concierge medicine. We created a series of navigators that's basically like a concierge service, and concierge medicine is usually for people with a lot of money, and this was basically for everybody. And we were able to, and we also did it by getting primary care physicians who were multi-talented. When I trained, I sound old when I say this. I'm middle-aged, but not old yet, hopefully. When I trained, the way that I was trained as an internist was that as a physician, you would handle everything until it got very severe. You know, some people practice by consulting everybody. What we did was we got primary care physicians who could do a lot of different things and use them as the center of it. And that has borne great fruit in a couple of services. We have our addiction medicine service. We do stuff that nobody else in the country does, where it really is a comprehensive service where the patients get full care. And, you know, I think people now realize how important that service is, and it's really an underserved population. We also created an LGBTQ plus healthcare program that's exploded in the last year. In the last year, the number of patients in the program has increased by over 10 times. And unlike our normal payer mix, as I mentioned, we're a charity care hospital where we have a large amount of charity care and Medicaid. This service is 65% commercially insured, and the rest of the patients have some other government payer source. So It's very different for us, and it's brought other patients in contact with us and starting to see what we can do and how we can provide service for them at a really high quality. And so the last year has really been refining those things and getting the word out, and now trying to take that model and expand it into other services as well.
Well, that's fascinating to hear and just really cool to see, those types of programs that are not only great for the community in something that, is great for your hospital to provide, but then too to see those additional, as you mentioned, the commercial patients with commercial insurance and a different patient population coming in and really experiencing the great care that you can provide there. I can imagine that's really rewarding for yourself and your teams.
Oh, absolutely. And the other nice thing is in the last year, we've brought in and expanded our team greatly. We've brought in a lot, and that's obviously such an important thing in healthcare right now is recruiting and maintaining and developing good talent, right? And so we've been very fortunate that we've been able to do that. And it's just very rewarding. I think that the other thing is that success in these types of things begets more success, right? So we do something, we pull it off, then other good people want to come be part of it, right? So as we've built up some of these programs and they've gotten some attention, we've actually had really talented people reach out to us and ask if they could be part of it, which is really something you don't normally see. And again, I think it's just by engaging people and having them be excited to do something different has been where we've been able to find success. We kind of didn't have a choice, but to be different, because if we tried to do what everybody else did, we would have gotten slaughtered. But by doing it and figuring out a way to make it work, it's really drawn in people, and it's been very exciting for the talent. And that gets people more engaged, and then they want to do more things, and they become more involved. And it's really great to also see, the younger people, or sometimes people who aren't younger but who are newer to being in a leadership capacity, really blossom into the roles.
That's amazing to hear. And just what a great opportunity all the way around. Now, broadening out one bit, what are some of the top trends that you're following in healthcare? What's really something you have your eye on and top of mind for you?
I think there's a bunch of them that are, I think, very important that I'm kind of watching. One has been, again, this movement of services more to the ambulatory setting that we've kind of tried to hone in on with some of those programs. In particular, I kind of mentioned population health. We've been hearing about it for years, and I know that there's a push towards value-based payments. I don't know if that's the going to solve everything, but I do think that it's going to be necessary because, the one thing I had in doing that a lot of other places don't have is that because I didn't have the reputation, I couldn't poach for my inpatient services. A lot of people, if they built this program like I did, they would decrease the services that actually create a lot of their revenue, right? Because it prevents patients from getting hospitalized. So having value-based payments, I think, will be important. So I think it's been really interesting to see what's been happening in that space over the last year, both in terms of some hospitals or health systems buying payers, and reverse payers buying medical practices and trying to get into the space themselves, and then the movement of a lot of IT companies into the area, but then watching them have trouble trying to adjust has been very interesting. The other mega trend is, it sounds like a cliche, but it's AI. I think everybody's kind of excited about where it could be and also scared. But right now, it's very kind of superficial, for lack of a better word, because it's a new technology and people are figuring out what they could do with it. But I can imagine dozens upon dozens of different applications if you did them right, but obviously they're going to take a lot of refinement, a lot of computing power, and a lot of security being built around it.
Absolutely. I think both are such great points, especially, it's just fascinating to think about, when you were first talking about moving to the ambulatory space and looking at population health as well as value-based payments, those types of things, how they really challenge the traditional models of healthcare and, in some ways a push and pull between the traditional way of looking at performance and metrics within the hospital system and then to where healthcare is headed and how to kind of transform those things. It seems like very much a challenge, I think, for many organizations to figure out, how to make that transition smoothly. I think when you look at being able to kind of thread the needle there with having these programs that are clearly, essential to the community, how do you, I guess, what do those discussions look like for you when you're working with, trying to make sure you have the right resources to build out these programs that can be really valuable and useful, especially considering where healthcare is headed with technology, in just the landscape in general, pushing things more outpatient and in the ambulatory setting?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, I think our senior team here is kind of on the same page that we think that that's where things are going. But, we're obviously very involved in the community. Again, we're a safety net hospital, so we kind of have to be. And, healthcare equity and social determinants of health are kind of part of our mission statement. We have what we call our pillars, and there are five or six of them that kind of guide what we do here, and one of them is access to care. And so that's a huge deal for us. In terms of planning it, I mean, we have to be careful because, unfortunately for us, while we've been doing well financially compared to a lot of other places, like we don't have the big endowment or the big starting amount of funds that other people do because we started as a safety net. So, we have to really pick and choose where we grow things into. If I had a magic wand, I would do about 17 different things right now, but I can't because I have to pick and say, okay, I'm going to do these three programs right now. I'm going to take this much cash up front to do, and we'll start them and, suck that up. And then when they start generating them, we'll move on to the next ones. And sometimes that is frustrating because you have people who are really raring to go and want to do something new, but you kind of have to choose. And how do we choose? Some of it is analysis, and some of it's a little bit by feel of kind of getting involved with the community and knowing what's really needed. We're very active and involved in a lot of community groups, and we kind of get out there. I live in the area too, so I think a bunch of us do. So it makes it easier to kind of get a read and just being, empathetic towards the people in the area and figuring out what they need. But like I said, we do use a bunch of analysis, which is not just totally guessing blind, to try to figure out if something has a market or not.
That makes a lot of sense, and really great to hear and kind of get one bit more inside look at how you can really, like you mentioned, select the things that you're going to move on, and then do that quickly and be able to serve the community better. Now, before we wrap up here, I wanted to look into the future. How are you thinking about growth in the next 12 to 24 months or so?
I think for us, it's going to be doing a lot of similar things to what we're doing currently. I think I've mentioned it the last time I was on, but the other thing I'm trying to really move to is on that ambulatory side. I mentioned already centering primary care, but giving people more frequent but shorter visits, I think is a really important for patients, both for patient engagement, which will lead to better satisfaction, also them coming back and staying with you, and just having a little bit more of that high touch feel to how we're providing care. I think, one of my pet peeves in healthcare has always been that we call patients in, we have a visit with them, we give them a list of, 11 things to do, and then we have them come back in, 4 to 6 months, and nobody can do that. And then they have to take time off from work to come and all of that. Whereas, with technology and with the pandemic, we saw where you can use telemedicine. I think some people overuse it, but I think if you use it really intelligently, you can really use it to supplement things. Just people can easily take a 5 to 10 minute break and jump on a call with their provider or provider in the group, a mid-level or somebody of that nature. So that's one thing I think will be important for us for growth. The others are, again, just getting a little bit more of that engagement with the community and reading what services we really need to bring on. And then it's also recruiting talent. That's really the biggest thing right now. The last several months I've spent a lot of time trying to bring in some new providers to fill in some of these new services. And then last but not least, I also mentioned is the technology end to it. We start off behind people, so we really have to build up our technology to make things easier for people. So making it easy for them to schedule appointments and come in. A lot of people have done this already, but just finding ways to make it a little more appealing to patients so that they feel very involved with their providers, to become attached to them, I think is really important, both for the patient's care, the quality of the care, and for the business strategy end of.
That makes a lot of sense. And, I really appreciate your time today, Dr. Barbaro, and looking at so many different aspects of healthcare, and in particular, what you've been able to do at Bergen Newbridge Medical Center. I appreciate your time today and look forward to having you speak at our April annual meeting and then again at our CEO CFO roundtable in November. It's just such a pleasure listening to you and hearing your perspective on healthcare, and looking forward to seeing you in person at both of those spaces and continuing the conversation.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you as well.